Senator Dick Durbin, our guest this morning. Morning, Senator. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Good. But I know you've got a busy day. A Senate vote today on COVID assistance, assistance the Republicans presented that you described in a press release yesterday as emaciated.
It's just no response at all. Clearly, the Republicans believe at this point that we're moving in the right direction and the worst is behind us. I am not that person. When it comes to the coronavirus, we have got to be more aggressive. I mean, at this point, some parts of southern Illinois are being categorized as high risk because of the number of deaths and people who are exposed to this COVID-19. We've got to help people who are unemployed, 800,000 of them in Illinois, who are going to see their benefits cut dramatically, even with this McConnell proposal. Help the small businesses. I will tell you, many of these businesses are never coming back if we walk away from them. This McConnell proposal does nothing for them. I mean, when you get down to the bottom line here, I believe we've got to be serious about this. We've got to keep our foot on the gas to get out of this recession. We've got to help the families that are getting hurt. And what we see today just isn't even close.
$500 billion, the vote today. But I understand there's a procedural vote that requires 60 votes.
It's going to be a test vote, and it's not unusual. We'll do a procedural vote, and you'll basically see how people feel about the substance. It's procedural, yes, but it's a true measure of what would happen if the measure is called on the floor.
All right, now here's the question. My understanding is that today that probably won't pass that procedural vote. My understanding, another vote to keep the government open, and then an adjournment in the Senate?
Not today. And we're coming back. Senator McConnell makes the schedule around here. I mean, I'm in a position where I wait for notification. And I'm understanding we're coming back next week and probably for another few weeks beyond that. There's work to be done. Certainly, we don't want the government to shut down, and there seems to be an understanding between the White House and Speaker Pelosi. I have no idea whether Senator McConnell is party to that at all at this point. We don't need the government shut down. That would be disastrous across the board.
Now, Mitch McConnell wants to call the Senate Democrats out because he says the Democrats are stonewalling. He wants his vote to prove it, that the Democrats could be helping and moving forward.
So 4 months ago, Nancy Pelosi passed a relief bill. McConnell has done nothing until today. 4 months. He went back to Kentucky, as we all went back to our home states, over the month of August and decided to come back and make this offering today. And they have had negotiations between the White House and the Democratic leaders of the House and Senate, Schumer and Pelosi, and McConnell boycotts them. He refuses to attend them. Empty chairs. How can you explain that? At this moment in time in our history, why wouldn't he be at the table trying to find a bipartisan solution? We didn't march. We had 96-0 roll call in the United States Senate for the relief package. But he refuses to be party, to even sit in on the negotiations. He offers us this weak bill today and says, that's it, take it or leave it.
All right, but here's the thing. You're saying 4 months here, but 5 months ago, you and the House voted to distribute cure money. And it's still not been done. It was approved in Washington. You knew I was going to bring this up.
I know you did, and I'm glad you did, because I've done quite a bit of study on it since. The first problem was, yes, I did vote for the money, some $250 billion, I believe, if I'm looking around here for the numbers that we put into this package. But it had to go through the state of Illinois, which needed to pass legislation so it could be distributed. The General Assembly did pass the legislation. And then we had to get the applications from the individual communities. There are some 1,100 communities across the state that are 1,311 local governments eligible for these funds. And that took much longer than it should. Let me be very blunt about that. But we've now reached the point that 167 communities have submitted applications for reimbursement. One in southern Illinois, Pulaski County, has a $45,000 check on the way, but others are under review. Tom, here's the problem. If we don't give this money out properly, it's going to have to be refunded by these communities. And unfortunately, it doesn't cover two things that are desperately needed. The loss of revenue by these governments, as well as helping local businesses. It doesn't cover either of those categories. I was on the phone with five southern Illinois mayors, I'm not going to mention names here, just last week, and did a conference call with them and said, what's up? They said, we're about to see a decline of revenue in our communities by 20%. We got to cut back things. We got to cut back jobs and workers as a result of it. The alternative is raising taxes, and we couldn't possibly do that at this moment in history. So there's going to be some real hardship for state and local governments, even if we live up to the terms terms of this initial thing we voted for 5 months ago, and it's distributed, there's going to be an awful lot of hardship for these state and local governments.
And you mentioned this because the outline on how that money could be spent in D.C. changed in Illinois, tentatively anyway, and the legislature not due to go back until after the November election. And I did confirm yesterday not one community outside of Chicago in the collar counties who received their money directly, but the other counties and municipalities couldn't do that. Why the difference?
Well, here's what it came down to, and I, this is not partisan, I understand it. There's a man who's the Secretary of Labor named Scalia, and he is in the President's cabinet, and he and Mnuchin came to us and said as follows, we cannot, this goes back to March when we did the big $3 trillion package, we cannot give this out to every town and village in America. It's just physically impossible. We wouldn't know where to start and how to distribute it. So any entity you have that has more than 500,000 population, we will give a payment to them. That would be the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, Cook County, the metropolitan counties around Cook County. And that money went to them, the money that I'm referring to here. But then it was up to the state to decide how to distribute to the other units of government, the local units of government, and that's what's taken so long. The state needed legislative authority to do it, number one, and number two, had to put together a process to distribute it, and you and I have talked about it for months. I know you're on this story.
Right, and staying on it as well. And what's interesting is I've talked to several elected officials who have told me, not anonymously, that they're concerned if they criticize this that they'll be punished otherwise with funding in the state of Illinois, and that's a concern, I think, for both of us.
I understand that sentiment. I hope that's not the case. Please let us know if there's any concern along those lines. We'll be glad to reach out to the governor, whoever it is.
Mail-in vote, yeah, there's the issue as well. And, you know, you and I have been spending a lot of time talking about this over the last couple of months. And, you know, people worried about fraud. Well, in Georgia, confirmed at least 1,000-plus votes that were double-counted as absentee. And they went to the polling booth in some 100 counties, and they were counted and passed through. These mail-in votes are still a concern.
Of course, all votes are a concern, but the bottom line is this. For all of the years that we have used mail-in ballots, and the five states that do that exclusively, and they're not just liberal Democrat states, sure, it's Oregon, but it's also Utah, for goodness sakes, Colorado, a purple state, you know, they have had mail-in ballots without any incidents of fraud to speak of over the years. We want every vote to be legal and properly counted. Bottom line, end of quote. But to say that mailing them in means it's going to be fraud, the president mailed his own ballot in to Florida and then turned around and said, I think this is a fraudulent process. I don't get it. I mean, we can do this and do it properly. My home is in Springfield in Sangamon County. We have a Republican county clerk. I know him a little bit. I trust him completely. I think he's an honest man, and I think he's going to count these votes properly. They have thousands of these election authorities across the United States. No, there is no sinister plan or conspiracy underway here. We're doing what's been done in America for decades.
You know, when we talk about this $500 billion that you're going to be talking about in the Senate today, the figures coming out from the Congressional Budget Office, the federal budget deficit hit $3 trillion in August with a month left in the fiscal year, $1.9 trillion more than spending in the same period last year. At what point do we start worrying about how much we've spent, especially when you look at literally World War II level debts?
When we get America back to work, when this coronavirus is in the rearview mirror, America's going to come back and come back strong. But if we stop short of dealing with this coronavirus effectively and directly, if we stop short of helping families that are out of work now and trying to keep food on the table, if we stop short of giving these small businesses a helping hand so they can survive this and be around for another day and employ more people locally, then we're going to pay a heavier price, not just in terms of the deficit, but in terms of suffering across America. Listen, when we fight a war, we stand together. We say, we'll worry about the bill tomorrow. Today, we've got to win the war. That's what we're facing right now. We've got to face this coronavirus honestly, realize it is still a deadly threat to Illinois and across America every single day, continue to make the sacrifices, which are a pain in the neck, Tom. You and I both know it, but you got to do it. Social distancing, mask, stay out of crowds. Don't hang out at the bar late at night, for goodness sakes. I mean, these things, just common sense, can break the back of this coronavirus and get our economy moving. But to stop short and say, well, we're just going to wait and see how this works out, we're not going to like the outcome.
Senator Ford, I let you go. What have we not talked about today that you want to draw the eye of our listeners to in the coming days in Washington?
Well, I can just tell you, this book by Bob Woodward that came out has rocked this city. And the president is saying that it's just allegations. No, it's tape recordings of his actual voice, of what he said. And there's going to be a lot more said about it, what the president said to the American people and what he'd been briefed by the experts on before he said it.
Well, he said he was cheerleading. He didn't want to create a panic. And the fact is, in January, the president wanted a restriction on travel. It was implemented February 2nd. People said he was a xenophobe for doing it.
I'll give him credit for that, but let me tell you, when he got up and said repeatedly, 6 or 8 times, that this is just like common flu, don't worry, it's going to go away. When the sun comes out, it'll kill the virus, don't worry about it. He knew better, and he told Woodward on tape that he knew better. He knew that this influenza, this virus we were fighting, 5 times more deadly than ordinary flu. He said that. He said that in his own words, on tape. He knew that. That isn't what he said to the American people. He was saying, reopen the economy, liberate Michigan and Wisconsin. You don't need to wear a mask. Listen, we should have taken it more seriously early on. We're paying a heavy price for it now.